Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to all of you who are watching this at home, wherever you might be. What a beautiful day God has given us in Hoyleton today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the third Sunday in Lent, so we are now in the middle of this season as we are making our way closer and closer to Holy Week and to Easter as we consider all of the things that our Lord Jesus Christ went through on our behalf to take away our sin and to give us hope. Today our worship will follow Divine Service Setting 3. It's all printed there for you in the bulletin. I invite you to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak the words of the intro it responsively. For zeal for your house has consumed me. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For zeal for your house has consumed me. Please remain standing as we sing our Lenten hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the third Sunday in Lent is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak responsively the words of the gradual. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking our common Christian faith. And this morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is Built on the Rock. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from John chapter 2. This is John's account of Jesus' cleansing of the temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus' full humanity is on display here. We get to see Jesus be really emotional, upset, and angry. Of course, toward the end of this passage, we learn that it's not really about the temple, but it's really about Jesus. It's really about God's presence here on earth, the same Christ who dwells in you and me. This is about God's relationship with his people. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for about the last decade or so, one of the most popular genres of television programming has got to be these home renovation shows. I mean, there's like hundreds of these home renovation shows out there. Seems like they're airing nonstop on HGTV and other channels like that. I'm sure a lot of you have seen some of these shows before. Some of you probably go way back to the original one, the one that was like the pioneer for all the shows that we have out there today. If you remember on PBS in the 80s, Bob Vila, This Old House. But really, it was about 10 years ago that these shows really started to get popular. You had like the first one, which was Extreme Makeover Home Edition, that had Ty Pennington, and you had, you know, some of the spin-off shows like Flip This House, Flip or Flop. Lately, there have been a few more recent successful shows like Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines down in Waco, Texas, which, by the way, that show is the only reason whatsoever that I have any clue what the word shiplap means, but I do because of that show. So I'm expanding my vocabulary a little bit. And probably one of the newer ones, too, is Hometown with Ben and Aaron Napier, where that's kind of like an interesting show because it's a little different. They're almost trying to renovate an entire small town of Laurel, Mississippi. That's kind of where they're from. And they say it's a small town. There's like 20,000 people that live there. So I think Hoyletonians have them beat there. But, you know, there's just, I don't know, there's something so satisfying about sitting there and watching these houses transform. The entire house gets renovated and everything is so successful and it's so fun to watch that. Something that in real life, I don't know, for a lot of people would be really stressful. Even if you took on a smaller project, right? Like even if you just decided to do one room, you're going to transform your bathroom or your kitchen or something like that, that can really add a lot of stress to a family. But when you sit down and you're on your couch, you're watching this happen in front of you, I mean, they make it look so easy, right? I mean, they make it look like just anybody can do this if they really wanted to. And I guess, you know, they call it a reality show, but we probably need to just acknowledge the fact that a lot of what we see is not realistic. I mean, you can tell even right away in the beginning of these shows when the episode starts, they introduce you to the family. And, you know, the wife is like a stay-at-home mom, and she, like, teaches yoga classes, and she sells her arts and crafts on Etsy. And then you got the husband, he's like a traveling kazoo salesman or something. But somehow their budget is $500,000 for the house, right? You say, I'm not so sure that this is realistic. But whether it's realistic or not, I think it is just entertaining and riveting to see how an entire house can go from being old, run down, dilapidated, and then all of a sudden it's like new and shiny, and it's all in 60 minutes or less, right? This is good TV. We like watching this stuff. Feel-good stuff. So whether you're personally a fan of these kinds of shows or not, I think that whole concept can help give us a new perspective on this gospel text in John chapter 2. Because essentially, this passage helps us to see that the original house flipper, the original fixer-upper, it wasn't Bob Vila in the 80s, and it wasn't Ty Pennington, but it's none other than Jesus Christ right here. This is Extreme Makeover God's Temple Edition. And if TV had been invented back then, this would have been must-see TV. Because when we see the way that Jesus goes about fixing and renovating what's wrong in his father's house of worship in Jerusalem, I mean, this isn't anything like those guys on the HGTV shows. This isn't Chip Gaines with, you know, his dad jokes and his goofy smile. This is the Almighty God of the universe, the holy, righteous, divine Son of God in the flesh, and he's showing his divine wrath and anger over all of the things that are wrong with his father's house at the time. This isn't the Jesus from the cover of your children's Bible at home. This isn't the Jesus that has like a cartoon lamb around his neck or holding a hand of a small child. This is the Jesus who, according to this text, is brandishing a whip that he himself made. He's terrifying people. He's throwing them out of the temple courtyard. This is the Lord's demo day, which that's another phrase that I got to add to my vocabulary along with shiplap, right? Demo day, demolition day. This is the demolition day of the temple. Instead of taking a sledgehammer to a bunch of drywall, this is Jesus with his own bare hands, and he's flipping over the tables himself. It might be kind of difficult for us to think about Jesus that way. Because a lot of times when we meditate upon the loving kindness of God and his compassion for his people, it's kind of hard to see where this temple tantrum fits into all of that, right? But actually, believe it or not, what happened in the temple that day is a perfect example of just how much your God loves you and cares about you and shows you that love. I'll kind of explain that as we kind of go through this. So in the beginning of this text, right away in verse 13, what we find out is that Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Passover. And then in verse 14, it says, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. This is the thing that sets Jesus off. Now, without the background and the context, that might seem kind of crazy, right? It might seem like Jesus is completely overreacting. I mean, these people are just there in the courtyard. They're minding their own business. Why is Jesus getting so upset? But that's actually the problem, isn't it? That they're minding their business. And not only that, but they're minding it right in the place that God had set aside for his holy purposes. When people came to Jerusalem for the Passover, one of the things that they were expected to do was to come and bring a sacrifice to the temple. Now, depending on how far away you traveled, it might not be very practical to take your sacrificial animal along with you. So the Jerusalem religious leaders kind of figured this out, and they started selling these sacrificial animals right there in the temple courtyard, in the outer courtyard. They did that so they could kind of make a buck off of the travelers to Jerusalem in those days. So now, when you come to the temple to worship for Passover, the very first thing you've got to deal with is this big, noisy, crowded marketplace. You've got to get through all of that distraction before you even get to the place where you're going to worship. And if that weren't bad and distracting enough, on top of that, the temple had its own currency. So you couldn't just buy an animal. You had to use the special temple coin, which meant you had to go to the money changer booth first, and you had to get those coins, and of course, the exchange rate wasn't very generous. So the point being that Passover, which is supposed to be a celebration of God's love and protection for his people, leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery, leading them into the promised land, all of a sudden, in Jesus' day, that celebration had become this big, greedy ordeal, basically a money-making scheme. The people of God were being taken advantage of. They were being spiritually abused by the very ones who were supposed to be taking care of them. And Jesus, out of love for his people, wasn't going to stand by and let it all happen. Sometimes true love doesn't look like smiles and hugs and kind words. Sometimes true love looks like what Jesus did. Sometimes true love looks like flipping the house and destroying the things that are causing problems and building something new, no matter what it takes, no matter how difficult it might seem. When Jesus does all of these shocking things, when it's all over with, John tells us here in this passage in verse 17, he says that the disciples remembered this quote from Psalm 69, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So it's Jesus' zeal. It's his strong, focused passion that causes him to want to prevent this temple from being contaminated. It causes him to want to do everything necessary to make sure that the people who are worshiping in this temple are protected. And this isn't just some isolated incident that only benefits the people who lived in those days. But like I said, this passage is really about God's love for us, God's love for you and for me. Because later on, when the Jews are questioning Jesus about this, later on in this passage, Jesus makes it very clear. It's not really about this big fancy building here in Jerusalem. It's not really about that at all. In fact, he talks about the true temple. He talks about a temple that's going to really be destroyed and then going to be built back up in 3 days, which I'm sure sounded just as ridiculous to them as the kazoo salesman's budget sounds like to us. But really, he's talking about, John helps us to see in verse 21, he's talking about himself. He's talking about the temple of his body. So the real house flipping is going to take place during Holy Week. And demo day is scheduled for Good Friday. And the sledgehammer is going to come to Jesus, driving the nails through his hands and his feet. And it's not because Jesus is the one who needs renovating. But it's the death and the decay that has infected this entire world because of sin. That's what needed to be cleansed. And all of our problems, taking care of those things wasn't going to work as some do-it-yourself project. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the skill. We certainly don't have the budget to pay for our own sins. It's much better for us to leave it to the professional, to leave it to our Lord, who is the ultimate fixer-upper, who has done all of the hard work, who has done everything necessary to purge the evil out of our very souls. Sometimes true love doesn't look like smiles and hugs and kind words. Sometimes true love looks like what Jesus went through on Good Friday. Sometimes it looks like a willingness to be humiliated for those that you love. Sometimes it looks like a willingness to wear a crown of thorns and to be hung on an old rugged cross. But we've seen how these shows end. So when it's all over with, everybody gathers together. They're ready for the big reveal after all the work is done. They tour the house. They go from room to room. They're shocked, sometimes moved to tears by the beauty of the transformation in front of their eyes. You had better believe that the same thing and even more took place for those who saw the transformation on Easter Sunday, who saw Jesus alive and standing before them. And that resurrection, again, is about more than just Jesus, but it's about what Jesus has done for you and me as well. Your house, your soul, your life has been flipped by Jesus. And you have been covered, not with shiplap, but you've been covered with his blood. You've been covered with his righteousness. And because of that, because of him, your value, your worth has gone through the roof. You are a new creation in Christ. You are a temple designed and built to house the presence of Christ with you wherever you go. So in those moments when you feel kind of run down and you feel sort of dilapidated and it seems like the list of things that it's going to take to fix you is a mile long, remember that the same Jesus who zealously protected his Father's house, that temple, that same Jesus feels the same way about you. He has done and he will continue to do everything necessary, all of the hard work to fix you up, to transform you, to make you shiny and new until the day of the big reveal in heaven. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In our prayers today, just have one quick update for you. We continue to pray for Todd Twenhoffel, who has been fighting cancer. Found out from Cheryl this week that he will be placed in hospice care going forward. So please pray for peace for the Twenhoffel family. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, our jealous God, save the generations that will come after us from your punishment by filling us with your Son's zeal for your house in these Lenten days, that we may cast out every idol from our hearts and love only you and your commandments. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord our God, you have brought us out of slavery to sin through Christ Jesus, whom you have made to be our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Bless all those whom you send to preach Christ crucified to us, that we may ever know and live in the truth of your power in his cross. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Hoffman, and their pastor, Mark Hofferber. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of the perfect law, you have called us to honor our parents and all other authorities that it might go well with us in our land. Bless President Joe Biden, Governor J.B. Pritzker, and all those who watch over and govern us in your stead. Make them wise in your ways, that your justice may be upheld among us, and help us to serve and obey them in accord with your will. Guard and protect the members of the armed forces of this nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, preserve and bless all Christian households, that husbands and wives would live in love and service to each other, that fathers and mothers would diligently bring up their children in your fear, and that children would honor their parents and be well-equipped for service to their neighbors in this life. Bless all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Art, Wesley, Agnes, Zoe, Leon, Emmeline, Kathy, Blake, and Hurley. May they all grow stronger in faith each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. O God, whose steadfast love in Christ is good, turn in your abundant mercy to all who suffer in our midst, including all those who are on our congregation's prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Marvin, Matthew, Amy, Beulah, Cheryl, Verdell, Jim, Richard, Teddy, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Greg, Doug, Linda, Eileen, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Norma, Todd, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Deliver them from sinking into the mire and deep waters, and grant them healing, comfort, and peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you bless this day and make it holy with your word and the gifts of your altar. Grant us to come before you in humble repentance, to eat your Son's body and drink his blood, that we may not boast in ourselves, but in your presence, but in Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, as 3 days after the temple of your Son's body was destroyed by wicked men, he raised it up again. Grant that on the last day, we and all the saints who now rest in your presence may share in the glory of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder that if you brought a tithe or offering with you today, those can be placed in the basket in the narthex. At this time, we will sing our offertory hymn, How Firm a Foundation. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is In the Cross of Christ I Glory. At this time, I invite our Sunday school students and teachers to please dismiss over to the school building. Good morning. A few announcements before we go into our service of the sacrament. Just a reminder that if you have a wooden cross, some of the crosses that were made and put out on people's lawns last year around Easter time, if you have one of those and it's in need of repair for any reason, I know a lot of the bases kind of broke or there might be some other issues. We would love to take care of that for you. You just got to let us know that you're having some problems with it. Just give the office a call sometime and we'll send somebody to fix that for you. Tomorrow night is meeting night here at Trinity, and so the Board of Ed, the elders will be meeting. Looks like stewardship's going to be having a meeting as well, so if you're in one of those groups, please make plans to be there tomorrow. On Wednesday night, we continue our service for Lent, our sermon series, which is Places of the Passion, and we're doing that in a rotation. This coming Wednesday, Pastor James Miller from Nashville will be preaching here in Hoyleton, and I will be at St. John's New Minden. That service is at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. There is going to be a meeting on Tuesday for anybody who is interested in helping with this year's Vacation Bible School, which is Rainforest Explorers. Please come to that meeting at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to Michelle Grathwall or you can call the office as well. The last thing that I wanted to bring to your attention is that today is the day of St. John's New Minden's Chicken Supper, so don't miss that. It's drive-through only this year. They're serving from 4 o'clock this afternoon until 7 o'clock this evening. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, seeing none, I'll invite the ushers to come forward and dismiss those who are not staying for communion, and I'll invite the elders to come help me set the table. God's blessings to all of you this week.